Hey, Emily, are you there?
I'm there. How are you?
I'm good, good. Thanks again for being willing to let me interview you. I'm really appreciative of that. My class is called Innovative Thinking and Entrepreneurialism for Western Carolina. So I tell you, Emily, will you just kind of state your name and kind of tell us what you do, a little bit about your background, and just a couple quick insights?
Yeah, of course. So I currently work as a project manager for New Media Campaigns. It's based in Carrboro, North Carolina. It's a full-service web design, development, and marketing agency. So we primarily work with political candidates, nonprofits, universities around the entire country. So we have a really far reach. And, of course, as a project manager, I work with our clients in being the liaison between them and our internal team of developers and designers. New Media has been around for about 12 years, which is great because my previous experience has all been with startup companies, which is very different than being with an established company. And those startups range from a smaller full-service agency and also healthcare technology. So I have seen kind of two different ends of the spectrum when it comes to startups. So yeah, that's in kind of a nutshell what I currently do and some background.
So you've been with this new company just for within the month or 2 months?
A month and a day.
Okay. But you have a pretty extensive background in this type of marketing that you've previously done. So this is what you do.
Yes. And what's great in this new job is being able to use my marketing experience hands-on with clients and previous employers and counsel and teach and coach my current clients about best practices, especially with digital marketing, since that's such a big thing that we hear about nowadays. I'm really able to act as a coach and to teach them about best practices.
So your clients today, I believe you have some pretty large clients, and you don't have to divulge who they are, but can you give a range of how big your clients are on maybe a scale that we can understand as a class?
Yeah, so a few that I can actually name out for you guys. So we work with Fleet Feet Sports. So they are individual franchises, but we work with them corporately. We also work with various departments and schools within UNC. We work, like I said, with a lot of political candidates at the local, state, and even federal level. And then just local nonprofits that are either based here in North Carolina or have offices in various regions of the United States, but then have overseas bases or offices where people also are serving and conducting their business, raising awareness, things like that. So we have a very, to some degree, a very global reach with the people that we serve.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. So like I kind of said before the call, I think a lot of our classmates, and particularly me, we have, you know, varying degrees of experience in entrepreneurialism and establishing companies. Some of our classmates have current businesses. Some of them are planning the business that they have. And then others like me, we're kind of dreaming a little bit. So, and establishing, what kind of mistakes do you see businesses make early on when they are first forming, when they're trying to build their brand from the ground up?
Yeah, so I think the big thing is one, know your business, know, you know, your elevator speech, what makes you different than the competitors in your field. But on the flip side, as basic as it sounds, just knowing your customer, depending on, you know, what business you're in, the industry, knowing where and how they shop. Are they more of a, you know, go to the store or buy something from their smartphone? Because those two different types of transactions really differ, and especially in how you market to those consumers. And so just really understanding your consumer down to the nitty-gritty of, you know, where do they like to hang out on the weekends? You know, what kind of jobs do they have? It all goes back to the industry and the type of business that you're in, but one, just knowing your business and then knowing who your market to, because a lot of businesses I see when they're first starting try to be everything to everyone versus special and exclusive solution or a special solution to an exclusive group of people where you can drastically change their business.
You know, it's so interesting, your points there, because it definitely follows along our current class of entrepreneurial marketing and certainly our professor, Dr. Lam. You know, in one of the books that we're utilizing kind of as our textbook is Duct Tape Marketing. And what you're saying really kind of follows exactly that. One of our projects has been to create our elevator speech, and then another project has been to identify who our client is, and it fits exactly to the points that you're making there, and you can't be everything to everyone, so when you try, it's hard to develop who you are. I think that's what I'm hearing you say. So.
Yes, correct.
What is the most important thing or aspect when you're marketing a young business? Where do you start?
Yeah, so I think just with the basics, what is your company's identity? You know, it does start with something as simple as a logo, because that's what people will remember you by. But it's also, you know, the personality of your brand and your business. Do you, and your collateral material and your ads, all of that, you know, what kind of language do you want to use? What is your organization's value, your vision? What, you know, how do you even conduct business? I think when it comes to marketing, you have to know and understand your business as a whole, just because that's what you're trying to use to tell your customers and your prospects, you know, this is who we are, what makes us different, why you should go with us. And that differentiation just, it helps articulate what makes you unique to your competitors. I think it all goes back to that, what's your identity, and starting with that.
So as we look to create our logo, which has also been a project of ours in this class, you know, what are one or two, three suggestions, hints do you have when we are thinking about a logo for a business?
Yeah, so actually in a previous role we did a lot of logo design and brand creation, and we do a survey of kind of the whole industry that you're in and your top 20 competitors and break it down to a, kind of a huge style guide of what does their typography look like, what do their colors look like. You know, there's all this talk behind color theory and how blues and purples are, you know, cool and not very vibrant colors, you know, and red and orange, those brighter colors are more aggressive and can mean different things. So historically, we've kind of done that with our, you know, top 10, 20 competitors and seeing, you know, what are these people not doing, because what they're not doing, what shapes, lines, things like that from a visual perspective, can we do to make us stand out and have our logo not look like the rest of, you know, the people in our industry that when our consumers are, or people we want to target are shopping online, they remember us or think this about us, and we stand out amongst others.
Yeah, that's wow. It's hearing you speak about that. That's very interesting. That kind of leads into the next question about how do we create a brand and how do we make it recognizable? I mean, you probably have a little bit of, I don't know how much insight you have on me, but I've always been very construction driven and very residential construction, homes, supporting custom home builders, you know, that type of arena. What suggestions would you have about creating a brand and making it recognizable?
Yeah, so I think, you know, kind of going back to that, looking at what your competitors are doing, laying it out, even if it's, you know, opening up a Word document and copying and pasting various logos into it, just to kind of see, you know, what's different, what's not, what language are people using, because if they're using more technical, very direct, assertive language, you know, that might be working, but maybe coming in with this more personal, relationship focused, you know, I don't know, sensitive is the best word, but just the opposite of that. Just really surveying if that might be an approach to take, because then you can take that with the approach of you're not just trying to add, you know, another client to the books, another logo on the wall, but you're trying to create those strategic partnerships which can help grow, you know, your business, my business, and we can just both build off of each other. And I think it's just really looking at what's currently going on in the market, and of having the data to see, you know, what's working and what's not. Because I suppose that sounds that helps. I suppose that sounds that helps direct kind of where you go from there.
Awesome. So, what challenges does a new business face marketing wise, and then can you give us a little bit of insight on how that may translate into some of the challenges that some of your more well-established businesses also face, but they may not anticipate?
Yeah, so I think with marketing, a big thing, and this can go for all industries, that, you know, you lack of resources could be a really big challenge, whether it's the budget to support your efforts, people, data and research, that lack of resources can really hinder, especially a new business and a startup, because you don't just want to assume things. You want to make sure that you're doing things the right way. You have enough capital behind what you're doing to really drive, you know, your efforts. Working in healthcare previously, they are more traditional with their marketing and do a lot of print ads. And just one of those, for instance, would run for a one-time run $5,000, which
right.
If you're a small business, a startup, you know, $5,000 might be your whole marketing budget for a month or two, depending on what you're spending.
Or a year, or yeah.
Exactly. It could, that $5,000 could be eaten up in so many different ways rather than just one magazine
yep.
run.
yep. And then $5,000 to a new business could mean no paycheck to the owner for the first.
Exactly.
You know, yep.
And with that, what I would always, you know, look at is where can I see my ROI? You know, when I place that magazine ad, how am I really going to know, or do a direct mail or those more traditional forms of advertising, how am I going to know what my ROI is? Because as a small business, you know, and especially with me working in marketing, they want to be able to trace my efforts to a closed sale, to a lead that's generated. And so that's where, you know, flipping to more of a digital approach to marketing, they utilizing marketing automations, that is something that is becoming really big within the industry. It's been pretty big just because it decreases the amount of time that someone has to spend marketing, talking with people, things like that, but it increases the touch points you have with people. And just a challenge with that would be, you know, it takes a lot of time and a lot of money to set up. And so that goes back to that resources. It all, I think, goes back to just making sure that your marketing department, which can drastically drive and transform your business with your sales team, making sure that they have the tools and, you know, the budget necessary to achieve attainable goals.
Awesome. You know, and then I would think just something quickly in my mind is as digital marketing increases, and certainly that's your niche, it also gives, I would think, you something that's quantifiable back to your client to show them the responses of your work. It's a little easier than maybe a magazine article or some sort of a mailing could do.
Yes, and it's easy, or it makes it easier to generate more business too for from that client, because you can say, you know, look at how much I was able to do for you with $500.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had, you know, say double that, $1,000, you know, imagine what we could do, double, triple, you know, the amount of leads or that we, you know, that we could do. So it makes those relationships and opportunities to grow and upsell really easy having that data to go from.
So again, as I'm kind of focusing on the construction arena, and whether that be building a house myself, or whether that be continuing to supply to the industry with showrooms, how do I choose a media platform to use, and which ones do you suggest?
So I am like the best and worst person, I feel like, to ask about this. I feel like, you know, everyone needs to be on the big three, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. You don't need to be active on them, depending on what industry you're in. But I think, you know, social media is just a way for people to validate that, you know, you're a real organization, you're here, you actually do the work that you say you did. But in my opinion, and based off my experience, a Twitter post does not close a sale for you.
Right.
Depending on, you know, if you're a small boutique, it might, because they'll see this, you know, the sale that you're having. But if you're a large healthcare organization, a patient's not going to walk through your door because they saw your, you know, Facebook post. So I think it really, choosing a platform goes back to knowing your customer. What are they on? What are they using? And really defining the objectives that you have on social media. Is it just, you know, for brand awareness and to keep people there? Or are you really trying to generate qualified leads from it? I think that is a big one to kind of sit down and decide with a team, what are our objectives of this? Because you can put so much time into planning social media posts, gathering your images and graphics and things like that, but what return does it give you? So establishing those objectives is really important.
Wow. Emily, interviewing you has been very beneficial for me, as I hope my classmates as well. I mean, you're definitely a pro at what you do, and to hear this from you is really helpful. Thank you. What kind of closing remarks would you give an entrepreneur that basically starting out with nothing, and just any sort of idea, close, you know, and then we'll thank you.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, go for it. I also strive one day to have my own company and what that looks like. I feel like changes every day just with different ideas, but especially when it comes to marketing, it can drastically change your business and can be a really great asset. So don't forget about your marketing girl or guy and give them the time and energy to really help transform your business.
Well, Emily, when you look to form your own business, I know a great program at Western Carolina that I will send you some information on, and I think would be beneficial to you. And I have a sneaky feeling that you would ace the marketing class.
Thank you.
Emily, thank you again. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you.